Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. I'm proclaiming the word today from the Psalm 50, verses 7 to 15. This is printed in your bulletin if you'd like to refer to it. Let's pray. Gracious Lord, teach us to live in daily relationship with you, for you have brought us into your home, into your family, and into your heart. Help us, Lord, and grant us your Holy Spirit as we hear your word this morning. Amen. I'd like to start with a short parable. Carol and Mark were a married couple who had been together for a few years. They had been very happy when they were first married, but things had not really been right in their marriage for some years now. Carol noticed that her husband had, even after their first couple of years of married life, well, lost interest in her. He did not want to spend time with her, even when the opportunity came to do so. He did not share his thoughts with her, or look for Carol to share her thoughts or feelings with him. In fact, he particularly seemed to avoid that. It became clear over time to Carol that Mark did not trust her or really believe that she was committed to him, even though she often went over and above, trying to help him, trying to support him, even cooking his favourite dishes and having things in their home just the way he liked them. But he did not seem to notice. He did not seem to care. Mark was generous enough. He worked hard, and they had a nice home. He even made a point of taking Carol out for dinner each year on their wedding anniversary. And one year he even made a point of buying her a ring to mark the anniversary. She hoped that this might mean that he was warming to her again. But no, nothing changed. He closed himself off in his work and his own pursuits as if Carol was not even there. And one evening, things came to a head. Carol was at the end of her endurance. She spoke up. "Why will you never let me get close to you?" she said. "Why do you push me away? It's like you do not even see me." "What do you mean?" said Mark. "I try to keep you happy, don't I? I provide everything you need and more. What about that ring on your finger? Where did that come from?" She looked down at the ring glinting on her finger and she said to her husband, "I'd happily give up this bit of metal, this house, and everything else if you would just talk to me, be with me, trust me, share your life with me." Exasperated, Mark said, "What do you want from me?" And Carol answered this question very clearly because she knew the answer. She'd been thinking about it and she was ready to give it with all her heart. And so with a quiet and calm but slightly tremulous voice, she said, "I? What do I want? I just want to be your wife." This is what's going on in the readings this morning. I picked up on it in the psalm because of the particular emphasis we're going to see there. God is talking to Israel and he's saying, "My beloved people, all I want is to be your God." Israel had turned their covenant with God into a sham marriage, a matter of mere outward actions and appearances. They had begun to imitate the pagan nations around them that they saw by treating the true living God as if he were one of the flunky gods of the ancient world who just responds to bribery and flattery. They had fallen into doing just dead external actions, going through the motions. That's what we see in the Hosea reading this morning too, which Jesus then repeats to those he's teaching in the gospel reading today. They thought that by doing these external actions, the sacrifices and all of these things, these routines, these rituals, that by themselves, those things constituted a relationship with God. But there was no sincere thanksgiving or prayer involved. This parody of worship is not the covenant that God made with Israel. They had forgotten who their God actually was. Listen again, or read with me if you wish, verses 7 to 13. God says, "Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I'll testify against you. I am God, your God. Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me. But I have no need to accept a bull from your house or goats from your flocks. For every wild animal of the forest is mine, the cattle on a thousand hills, all the birds of the air and all that moves in the field is mine. If I were hungry, I wouldn't tell you, for the world and all that is in it is mine. Do I need the flesh of bulls, and do I drink the blood of goats?" God's saying to Israel, "I'm not going to be part of this charade. If Israel were giving him something he wanted or needed in return for his favours, well, they had it all upside down." God said, "You don't need to feed me. You don't need to tickle my fancy. The world and its fullness is already mine. I am not somebody you can manipulate or manage. I am God, your God," he says in verse 7. This is not an idol made in the image of human needs or desires. This God is righteous. He is above all human manipulation and coercion. He judges what is true and he does what is right. This God is sovereign. He owns all that is and has no need for the puny things that we can offer him. And this God is above all merciful and loving. He will hear when we call and act to save us. Yes, even us who turn our backs on him so often. He does not have to be kept interested. He does not have to be continually wooed and appeased. He loves us already, and he desires nothing more than to be part of our lives. This is the God who called not only Israel, but all humanity back into a real, authentic, mutual relationship, into closeness, in a certain sense, into friendship with himself. What does God want from us? He wants to be our God. As Luther says in his large catechism, in the explanation to the first commandment, God wants nothing more than that we look to him for all good, that we run to him in all trouble and turn to him as our saviour and our helper in every need. In verse 14, God's speaking to Israel again. He says, "Offer God a sacrifice of thanksgiving and perform your vows," or pay your vows to the Most High. This needs a little bit of explanation. When you read the Psalms, you find out that in the covenant God first initiated with Israel, there was a true mutual relationship. You remember back in Exodus, God says, "I will be your God, you will be my people." And in the Psalms of petition that we have, where the psalmist calls out to God within that relationship in need or distress, he often makes a vow of praise, it's called. In Psalm 51, for example, that very next psalm in the Psalter, in verse 14, the psalmist has just prayed for all God's forgiving grace of his sin. And then he says these words, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation, and my tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness." This is a vow of praise in which the supplicant says to God, "I won't forget that it was you who rescued me. I will perform my vow to the Most High. I will be thankful and I will praise you because it was you who saved me." So this is how this mutual relationship with God works. God extends his love to save and help his people in response to their cry for help. And then, moved by that loving mercy of God, we respond in thanks and praise. And that's what that verse means. I will perform. I will pay my vows to the Lord. What we see in the Psalms here is the same love of God that offers and still offers salvation and help to all people by coming close to us in human flesh and blood, in his Son Jesus, the one who through his death and resurrection brings us into that deep two-way relationship, that covenant closeness with the living God, with the Father. In John 14, Jesus describes this in beautiful words. Verse 21, he says, "And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him." That is the closeness and friendship of God. That is the God who is ready to hear your call, the God who is ready to meet your every need. In his Son Jesus, God the Father says to us the words of Psalm 50, verse 7, "I am God, your God." He wants to be close. He wants to be in true friendship with us, in which there is honesty and trust, in which he speaks to us, and in which we respond to him, in which he acts for our good and our blessing, and we praise him. And in doing so, we grow in faith as we learn to rely on him absolutely to meet all of our needs. Verse 15, the last verse in this text, distills all this down into a few words. This is a text from Psalm 50 worth learning by heart and repeating to yourself. Even though we often make things so complicated with God, it is God who cuts through all that with his word, and he gives us a very simple picture, a very simple promise, and a very simple command. God is still speaking to Israel, but also to us, when he says these words, "Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver you, and you shall glorify me." He wants us to call out to him in the day of trouble. He delights in our relying on him. He delights in our needing him, on crying out to him when we have sinned and we feel deeply guilty or ashamed, when we are distressed or grieving, when we are afraid or depressed and in despair. He can and will help us. He will hear us. so that our deep thanks and trust is in turn expressed in our lives through thanksgiving and praise. To use the language of the Psalms, we perform our vow of praise as we sincerely and wholeheartedly give thanks to him. So how do we grasp this? How do we grasp this wonderful relationship and hold on to it and live in its freedom and its peace? What teaching is coming to us in this text today? Well, as with Israel, so in God's new covenant with us through his son Jesus, there is A, public corporate aspect to all of this, and B, a private intimate dimension. And the two are deeply intertwined. The public aspect is our full participation in worship, in confession as we come to church here together, confessing our sins, crying out and receiving God's salvation and help. In our praise, our paying of our vow of praise, as we pray and sing and say the creed. The liturgy is designed for this relationship to be transacted, to happen. It goes backwards and forwards. We speak to God, he speaks to us, he acts on our behalf, he acts in response to our prayers. The liturgy is just an ongoing, a beautiful ongoing symphony of this relationship, all based on the forgiveness of sins and the mercy of God in Christ. B, the second, the personal, spiritual aspect of this is our life of prayer, our calling out to God in our hearts, in our private moments, in our families around the table, in those moments of deepest need too, and at any time of the day and night. This psalm shows us that God is like the friend that Jesus talks about in the parable in Luke 11, who will answer the door at midnight because he knows that his friend is in need. That is our God, and that is the covenant and the relationship we have with him. Our Lord says to us, as he said to his people long ago, "I am God, your God. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.